23andMe is one of the buzziest companies to hit the stock market lately in what's been a blockbuster year for IPOs. Not just because of the company's home DNA tests, but for how they could shake up healthcare, something on all of our minds these days. Ann Wojcicki, the co-founder and CEO of 23andMe, envisions a new model of personalized care that determines the treatment we get and the drugs we take based on our specific genetic code. On this episode of Influencers, Anne joins me to talk about the company's shift toward drug development, how it's addressing privacy concerns, and what its research can teach us about fighting this pandemic. Hello, everyone. I'm Andy Serwer, and welcome to Influencers. Welcome to our guest, Ann Wojcicki, co-founder and CEO of 23andMe. Ann, nice to see you.
So good to see you.
So let's talk about 23andMe. A lot of people have heard about the company by now, of course, but you do DNA home testing, you have a subscription service, you do some drug development. Mm-hmm. Why don't you talk about the business and the company writ large?
Well, the idea around 23andMe was always this idea of personalized care and the power of data. So in 2003, I remember being very touched by Francis Collins, who is the head of NIH, who's the head of NIH today. And he had come out and he said, you know, genetics is going to transform how we predict, prevent, and treat all human disease. And it was absolutely it was an incredible statement, and I think that there's an absolute opportunity and potential with having DNA to have essentially this code that tells you what your risk factors are and how you might be susceptible to certain kind of conditions, how you might respond to certain kind of conditions, and we don't fully understand the genome. So there is this huge opportunity to say, I'm going to deliver true personalized care, being like, I'm going to help you understand what your risks are and then potentially help you manage how to prevent. And then there's this opportunity for us to all come together and crowdsource what does the human genome actually mean. And so that really is our therapeutic side. So 23andMe is all about help people access, understand, and benefit from the human genome, easily get access to your genetic information, understand what it means for you, and now benefit, which is really going to be about helping people prevent disease and then treat it when they cannot prevent.
Okay, so then break it down for us in terms of the business lines and what your guys are doing there.
We have, it's a direct-to-consumer company still. So one of the things that is unusual about us is that we sell straight to customers and we do not go through employers, we don't go through physicians. There's two offerings. There's an ancestry only, and then there's the health and ancestry. And we found that some people really just wanted to explore their ancestry before they got into health, but that health really is this much bigger opportunity. What we also found that taps into the health side is that our customers were telling us that they were looking for more. They were looking for more information. They're looking for more ways that they could take this information and do something meaningful with it. And so we responded to that request by saying we're going to have a subscription offering. And the subscription offering today is really about additional content. And so more reports. So for instance, we have a whole section about heart health and, you know, whether risk factors you might have there. And then a whole section also on pharmacogenetics, how your DNA might impact how you respond to medications. And so those are examples of reports that are now part of the subscription service. We have another whole side of the company, which is really about the data. And over 80% of our customers elect to opt into research and they answer questions about themselves. And with that information that people have given, we are able to then do analysis and research on disease areas like depression or Parkinson's or cancer. And we can look at all of this information and we look to see, are there genetic insights that potentially help us have a unique insight into developing a drug? So we now have a big therapeutics division as well, saying, can we leverage genetic information to develop therapies?
That's a really cool stuff.
It is very busy.
Yeah. So there are other companies doing this now, but you guys have this tremendous brand equity in the space, I would say. And what makes you guys different from competitors? And then tell me what you were about to say as well.
Well, I kind of question this thing. There's people who all compete in very specific spots.
Got it.
So, you know, Ancestry.com has an ancestry related test, but they've actually now pulled out of health. There's companies that you could go to that will give you a health report, but they are through a physician and it's not necessarily a fun experience. It's just like I wouldn't say that getting your CBC done at LabCorp is a fun experience. No one brags about those reports or takes them home to show their friends.
Right.
So there's absolutely companies that do very specific aspects of what we do, but there's no one else that looks at your whole genome holistically, that looks to have a fun and engaging experience. And that's truly direct to consumer. Like there's no one, I mean, it's one of those things that's interesting. When we had this, you know, the regulatory issues with the FDA back in 2013. And after all of that work, we are still the only ones who've gone through this whole path and brought forward a direct-to-consumer product. And one of the things I am vehemently, committed to and very proud of is that we have proven out that customers are in fact quite capable of getting information on their own. And the reason why that's so important is it's important to show that healthcare actually can be scalable. Like I tell my kids, and I was like, in the old day when, you know, mom wanted to book a trip to a country, I had to call a travel agent and there was a person. Like it wasn't automated. Like imagine if you had to, for all of your trips, you had to still talk to a person to get that hotel room. But now it's obviously all scalable. Healthcare is still in that world where it's all predicated upon a one-to-one interaction with an individual. And one of the things that's so important to do is figure out how can healthcare more and more scale? And how is it that you can actually say a lot of information can go direct to consumer? You can structure information in a way that people can, in fact, absorb it on their own, and that there's a select number of cases, like you're a carrier for a BRCA mutation, and we highly encourage you follow up with your physician. And we found that people do, in fact, do that.
Now, does that suggest, Anne, that there is this incredible opportunity where you can take the company into myriad different paths? And what might some of those be?
Exactly. So that is where I think of us as a very, very different company than everyone else out there, because we look at ourselves as a direct-to-consumer company that has the foundation of everyone's personalized medicine. So everyone talks about personalized medicine. There's all kinds of glossy brochures. People talk about it. It has a great name. But to me, if you don't have your DNA that's part of it, you're not starting with the foundation of personalized care. And so what I see is this huge opportunity for 23andMe is to really offer a service for customers to say, I'm giving you personalized preventative care. So I give you your genetic information, and based on that, I'm going to help you understand what your risks are and how you potentially want to better manage, and all based on your genome, and really with a lens towards keeping you healthier. And that's, I think, a big differentiator. So much of healthcare today is really about how do you do chronic disease management? Like that's one of the best sectors, you know, everyone is getting into that chronic disease management of all sorts. But what I think about, I'd rather just have chronic disease prevention. Like you just don't want it. But the reality is that doesn't pay for the existing healthcare system as it is, which again ties back into why is 23andMe a direct-to-consumer company? Because prevention is largely in the lap and the responsibility of you, the individual. Like changing your diet, exercising, how you take care of yourself is not something your doctor is regularly checking up on you for. Like they might tell you lose weight, but it's your responsibility. And so that's what I think 23andMe has this real opportunity to say, we're giving you a very scientifically based, you know, looking at your genome, and we're going to help you understand where you need to focus your energy on prevention.
Now, you mentioned that doctor relationship. Is there any consideration being given to having your product and service so that consumers could work in conjunction with their physicians.
Absolutely. And I think that it's one thing that I have a lot of good friends who are physicians, and I feel for them. And I think one thing that was brought up to me early on in the days of 23andMe is that one doctor complained. He said, the problem with 23andMe is you generate a lot of non-reimbursable questions, which is really true. And you can't fight with someone to say, like, you should do work for free. Like, a lot of it, I completely understand. So what we have done since those early days is really figure out how can we support physicians best when a patient, a customer in our case, walks into the physician's office and says, I have this 23andMe report that says I have a BRCA mutation, or I have a 23andMe report and it tells me that I am higher risk for type 2 diabetes. So a lot of what we've thought about doing is how do we actually make sure that we're creating this content so that you can walk into a physician's office and that physician is prepared? And how is it that we can work with companies like Osmosis and others and really train physicians so that they feel comfortable talking about genetic information?
So is it the case, though, that, say, just the core DNA home testing part maybe has slowed down the growth there as it gets more saturated? And of course, that's why, in part, why you're looking to grow in these areas you just discussed, right?
Well, it's interesting. There was a time period where it was absolutely raining ancestry kits. And there was an explosion of everyone. It was on, like Saturday Night Live. It was on, celebrities were dressing up like 23andMe kits. Like, it was just, we really hit a cultural moment where people started talking about their ancestry. It was a whole new way of thinking about identity. And one thing I look at is even in this recent census, and there were some of the reports out there about how people, there was this radical jump in the number of people who identify as being, multiracial. And, a lot of that was attributed to coming from genetic testing. So I think there was absolutely an explosion there. I think at the same time, we did get hit by things like Cambridge Analytica and the questions on privacy. And there were all kinds of reports out, and Golden State Killer. There's all kinds of questions about, like, just exactly where is your data going? And I think that there was a very natural slowdown just across the board of everyone taking a step back and saying, like, I want to understand. That said, we've seen a lot of recovery. Frankly, things like COVID have really reignited people's interest in health. And we have always, like, one thing that we have always done research on, the health market is far larger than the ancestry testing market. And so there is a huge, again, thinking back also to just what I started talking about with what Francis Collins said, that statement about the opportunity for really changing all of care, all the ways that you predict, prevent, and treat human disease, all that opportunity is there. And it's just a matter of time before that becomes a reality. I think if you ask any medical professional, everyone says there's absolutely a world where everyone is sequenced at birth. But the path to get from today to that moment in time is undefined. And frankly, that's one of the things that 23andMe is doing, is we are actually the ones defining that path.
Well, I think that ancestry thing is always a hot button topic. You'll be happy to know, Anne, I was walking behind two little boys going to the beach a couple of weeks ago, and they were going, well, I'm part Irish, Spanish, and Japanese. And another kid was going, well, I'm part Portuguese. And, they were talking like they were 7 years old and they were into it. But that's, so it's a natural curiosity we have, right?
Well, I love it when I hear kids who don't look alike, who say, like, oh, maybe we have DNA in common.
Right.
Like, there's a sense of, you're connected to everything in the world. And that's, like, ultimately, that's true. Like, DNA is the ultimate connector of humanity. Like, we all have DNA in common. We all have common roots. So it's a pretty phenomenal, like, I look at it and I look at each mutation tells a phenomenal story of our survival. And we're all unique and different and optimized to survive in different types of environments. And, like, that's amazing.
You mentioned data and, the concerns people have about that naturally. And so what have you done? I think you said 80% of your customers consent.
Opt in.
And not opt out, but opt in.
Opt in, correct.
Right. And so how have you thought about using this? How are you and what are you thinking going forward?
I have really strong opinions about, you know, how data is used in healthcare. And I think a lot of this comes from the fact that I wish my healthcare providers followed what we do at 23andMe. And I wish that my healthcare providers had the same level of transparency and choice. So 23andMe is 100% predicated on this idea that people should have choice about what their data, where it's going, and they should have transparency about how it's being used. And one thing that I really agitates me in healthcare is that oftentimes my data is circulating around to places I'm not aware of. And then the insult on top is that I don't have the choice about how it's shared. Like, try to get your medical record and say you want to send it to another facility or send it to somebody else. They use all kinds of privacy laws to say you're not allowed to share it. So I find it the ultimate insult that I cannot control my health information. And my days of as an investor and chatting with companies about it, like, it was remarkable how pervasive that is in the system. So 23andMe is built to have an entirely different system. Like, I believe people should have the transparency and choice with their information. And at any time a customer wants to opt into research, they should be able to. And at any time you want to opt out of research, you should be able to, and it should be easy. So for instance, when you're a 23andMe customer, if you are taking a survey, it says at the top, you are opted into research. Click here if you don't want to be. When we did our first partnership with GSK, we actually emailed all of our customers to say, do you want to participate or do you want to opt out? And it's amazing. Like, I think that people really are eager actually to participate in research. Like, you see that enthusiasm from things like Susan G. Komen and the Live Strong walks. Like, there's an enthusiasm to help each other. Even the bone marrow drives. Like, people want to fundamentally help each other, and they understand that, you know, we are all connected, but nobody likes to feel like they're being taken advantage of. And that's when choice and transparency have to become the foundations of healthcare.
Yeah, that paradoxical opacity that you just talked about drives me crazy. It's a heads they win, tails you lose, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just unbelievable. So I hear you loud and clear on that.
And I love encouraging people. Next time you go to the doctor and they try to get you to sign the forms and they don't even give you the forms anymore because it's so automatic, say no. And I love it. Like, I love when, like, the receptionist is like, what do you mean? I'm like, no, I'm going to mark it up. Like, no, it's a legal document. Like, why would I just sign it? Like, why am I going to sign the rights for you to be able to do whatever you want with my data? So I just think it's like, there needs to be almost an uprising of people just saying, like, no, like, there has to be, the same way there's California Privacy Act and others, like, why is healthcare exempt?
Right, right. Hey, you mentioned Wall Street, Anne. I know you worked there when you were younger, and you guys went public. It's kind of a segue, is it? You guys went public via SPAC in June. Talk to us about that. Why did you decide to go that route? And I know it was with Richard Branson's Virgin Group, so you had that that relationship.
I had that relationship. It was just, you know, I always told my team that we would go public when the time is right. And in part because you have, it's a level of maturity of the company. You know, do you really, like, do you know essentially who you are when you're grown up? And 23andMe at this point in time was at the stage where we're really well solidified, like, what we stand for. And it was important for me to always have that kind of sense of, like, we are an activist brand. Like, we're out to drive real change. You know, it was, people sometimes talk about, oh, you got into drug discovery and it's a pivot. Like, no, it was there from the very beginning. Like, we're out to do something radical and really transformative. And I only want to be a public company when we have the maturity to withstand the public pressures. So at the same time, it was a phenomenal time to be public because I have two driving factors. One, my therapeutics team is mature enough that they have real cash needs. So we need the capital. Second, COVID ushered in a whole world of suddenly having, you know, the remote care was, like, obvious. Like, it just suddenly, like, getting, you know, blood at home, prescriptions at home, telemedicine, Like all these things that we wanted to do to potentially usher in a world of personalized care became a reality. And so we said, this is a phenomenal time for us to actually have a, you know, public currency and potentially, and look at the world of doing acquisitions.
Right. Interesting about COVID. And you talked about how that's changed the business. Shifting gears a little bit, I have to ask you about Elizabeth Holmes, who is on trial for fraud allegations related to a home testing kit. Do you think the attention that she's garnered has had any impact on consumer trust of products like yours?
I get the question quite a bit. And I would say no. I think, and people will ask me how we're different. I say, well, we have hundreds of papers. Like I have a culture of transparent science. Like going back to my thesis on like choice and transparency, like we are an incredibly science driven company, and Theranos was never transparent. Like and to be honest, like Theranos was unusual because again, you've had a woman who was running it, but there's other companies out there that are also not transparent, that don't get the same kind of publicity. So I think it's good for everyone to push on, especially in that world of science. You need publications, you need transparency, you need to be able to like really understand how something is working. So
right.
I focus more like, again, I think the heightened scrutiny of all companies I think is fabulous. And I would encourage, there's even more to like make sure that people are understanding what exactly is this product that's out there. And I think this is where FDA has a real responsibility and a real opportunity to make sure that they're setting standards.
Interesting. Of course, there are some companies that are actually directly following what she wanted to accomplish, and must be tougher for them to sort of maybe gain trust, because you guys aren't in the same business. I want to ask you about politics a little bit, because science has seemingly become more politicized than ever. And I'm wondering if that makes it harder for you to market your product to a broad consumer base.
I think in an interesting way, no, I think what's happened in the last with COVID, and we were just talking with, we just had a call with Andy Slavitt, and we were talking about this where, and it reminded me about when there was H1N1. And, you know, again, I remember getting, like, I remember rushing to get that vaccine, and everyone rushed to get the vaccine. There was no politicization of, everyone wanted it. And obviously there's, this is wildly political. So I think what that has done is it's opened up a door for additional leadership. And I think that I'm incredibly supportive of, you know, the agencies out there, the CDC and FDA, and it's really hard to be a scientific leader right now. But I do look at the public is hungry for other people that they can relate to. Like one company that we've always pointed to is like, why do people follow Goop and Gwyneth Paltrow? So, you know, Gwyneth is, you know, she's definitely upped her game more with the science, but she's not known as a scientific leader. But people follow. And I think that one thing that I do think that the science world has missed is that people are looking more and more to relate to their physician and to the science and make the information something that they can actually understand. And I think that the scientific medical world is still kind of stuck into a world of white coats, call me by my title. And I use names that you can't understand, and I include a package insert that no one can read. And I think that there has to be some of that consumerization of healthcare. And so I think of that where it's like, I think there's actually an opportunity for 23andMe, and we try to do this, have more of a role in scientific leadership. And when we put out publications around COVID, we try to do that very mindfully of like, how can we actually help people understand the science of what's really going on here? Because I do think that people are looking for what to believe.
Let me ask you about TAM, total addressable market,
okay.
One of those favorite buzzwords in business these days, right? So you guys are available in the US, Canada, and the UK, I think, right? But you have aspirations, I'm sure, to expand further internationally. And then there's China out there and India. What do you see in terms of the potential for the company to go into those kinds of markets?
I think people should be mindful. Each one of those countries is highly regulated in a different way. So we definitely think about international expansion, but I would not say it's top of my mind to think about right now. I think that there's a lot more work we can do in all the countries where we have an authorization. And I continue to be very excited about our subscription product and very excited about, the therapeutic side. So I would say we're really focused on the opportunities that we, outlined here, especially in the SPAC, outlines subscription as a priority and the idea of getting more and more into the world of true personalized care. And do we actually start to do acquisitions?
Right. You are one of the few women CEOs in your field. Talk to us about that. Was that an advantage? Was that a disadvantage? Or it just is what it is?
I was lucky to grow up in an environment where I think there is a lot of strong women. And I look at, again, the circle of groups. We're one of many families of three girls. And I also happen to have my sister around. So there's the normalization of like, yeah, there's just like, there's a lot of lactating CEOs that I know. Let's put it that way. and I think what was most beneficial is I had a supportive community and I had a community where it was normal. And I think that one of the biggest responsibilities for women in positions of leadership is to reach out and mentor other women. And one of the things I am really proud of is the number of female CEOs that have left 23andMe and gone on to become, again, CEOs at their own companies. So there's at least three at the top of my head. I don't know if there's actually maybe even four. And I'm really proud because I think that's one thing that I can do is instill the normalization, like women can be in charge and I can believe in them. And so for all of those women, I'm really proud. Like you, what you do, you act locally, influence globally, like the culture that we've created the company, I think is going to have an influence. So again, I'm really lucky to have come from that kind of environment. And the best thing I can do is support other women to just take that initiative on their own.
Yeah. Just to be clear about that environment. I mean, your sister is Susan Wojcicki, CEO of YouTube. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got to ask you what was in the water at the Wojcicki family growing up that you had two CEOs come out of there.
We joke, we had a lot of independence. I think what my parents did that I do think is good for everyone is there was a lot of, there was a lot of belief that we would find our own passions and there was a lot of flexibility to take on risk and to, explore what you were passionate about. And there wasn't that pressure that I had to go and do a specific job. I try to encourage my kids now, take on risk and have independence. There's nothing better in life than being independent.
Right. We mentioned that you worked on Wall Street as a healthcare analyst and you almost went to medical school, I understand. So what is it about the intersection of business and healthcare that you find so interesting? Yeah.
The reality for me is what I just like to do. I think in some ways, some of the most successful companies are started by people who see a specific need that fits their own desires. And I personally, when I was 5 years old, I first heard about the intersection between genes and environment. And like, it captured me. It captured me that there was something within me that I couldn't see and that all the behaviors and all the actions I had there was potentially a formula there to stay healthy as long as possible. And I just wanted to know what that formula was. So what I love, I'm in a really ideal dream position because I feel like I'm accomplishing what is sort of like a lifelong curiosity. And I'm surrounded by people who are incredible scientists. And I love, the osmosis of being able to learn from all of them. And then I also love that I'm creating a service that impacts millions of lives. It's like nothing better.
And last question, Anne, what do you see down the road for yourself and for 23andMe? And maybe there are the same answer and maybe they're separate?
I think, I think the hardest challenge before us is how do you actually introduce a type of healthcare that isn't supported by the existing healthcare system? And it is like, I'm very much tied into with the company. I'm like one in the same of, you know, what I am passionate about. Like I really, it's what we talked about before. Like there's chronic disease management out there, but like there's chronic disease prevention. I really think about like, how do you help people avoid really the pain and suffering of being sick? And I spent enough time in hospitals to know, like you want to do everything you can to not get there. And so the actions that you take earlier, you know, like I think about that with things like sunscreen, like you really want to emphasize to your kids under 10, like you really have to, like, you really want to prevent those early childhood burns. So like, how do you actually really help people? Because it saves so much suffering down the road. And having been front row seat to some of that suffering, like like I said, I really think about that. And so when I think about what I want for the company with 23andMe is, you know, we say internally, like, I want to be healthy at 100. And the most rewarding aspect of 23andMe is when I do get customer testimonials or customers who write in who say we've had a significant impact on their life. And that could be from ancestry or identity. But there's nothing like that experience of health and whether you've really had an impact and really changed someone's life with that.
When the company's 100 or when you're 100?
Oh, good question. I want to be healthy at 100, but the reality is, like, let's start thinking about what should we do for 23andMe's 100th anniversary. It's a great question. I'll get back to you on that one.
Excellent. Anne Wojcicki, co-founder and CEO of 23andMe. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Andy.
You've been watching Influencers. I'm Andy Serwer. We'll see you next time.